must almost be a relief for hockey fans in Minneapolis. Norm Green is moving the Minnesota North Stars to Dallas.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs! What you
wanna say? Club in fair territory and then lands fair. Wow.
So a huge break for the Yankees. Joe Mauer should be at second base.
In the 2009 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Johnny Flynn from
from 27 yards left hash. Snap good, spot down, Wolch's kick is up, and it is no good, he missed it! Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that!
Joe Mauer should have been at second base.
I'm going to have to listen to that opening every freaking week.
And I enjoy it every freaking time. Watching you squirm.
This is real.
I don't want to be a part of something that's fake. I'm here to tell the audience, hello, everybody. Welcome to Misery Loves Company, episode 2, getting into the Fran Tarkington years. Super Bowl 8's on the agenda today. But, it is fun to watch you squirm. And it's a visceral reaction, like I said last week.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way. I owe a mea culpa, which, as we know, is Latin for I fudged up. I owe an apology to the Bud Grant estate. What I said last week was that he was a pussy for not drinking, and I don't really care if you drink or don't drink. I'm just trying to be a little funny. In retrospect, I wish I hadn't said that because I really like Bud Grant. This guy had it figured out. I read a book. Because I hear, Mike, we have some listeners. Is that true?
It is true. More than I thought at this point, but hey, this is great. It's a great starting point with only one episode in the can, as they say. Now we're on our second one. So, So continue with Bud Grant.
Yeah. Bud, I read a book called A Tradition of Purple, An Inside Look at the Vikings by this gentleman, Jim Bruton. I think this guy was just a massive fan because it was written in 2007. So in like 45 years plus of being an organization, apparently nothing bad ever happened.
What?
There was nothing. Yeah, exactly.
Come again?
Yeah, it's like a propaganda book for fans, but that doesn't mean there aren't some good stories. And I learned a lot about Bud Grant, and I learned the guy treats people with respect, especially if earned. He seemed to really care about people. He was a process guy. You know, the results are what they are, but especially the mental stuff. I mean, I just really like the guy. I mean, in retrospect,
He's
for some of the same reasons I like Keith Richards, who's not a teetotaler by any means.
Right. Yeah, no, never met Bud, but I mentioned last week that my former neighbor was the granddaughter of Bud Grant, so she shared some stories with me. And some of the things you hear on KFAN or the media, local media, he would do these things. Every year he would have a garage sale and sell like memorabilia and give and donate all of the proceeds. I mean, the guy, he's just, I've never heard one bad thing about Bud Grant. Not to mention, just what a great sports mind he was in multiple sports. So I'm sure the Bud Grant estate forgives you. I can't speak for them, but,
it won't happen again, and I have a couple of stories about Bud before we get into why we are gathered here today. Bud, let's see, who was it? Carl Eller. It was in a ballroom in Atlanta, and they were having their team meal, and it was steak. And part of Bud's deal, I think, this is what I'm gathering from the story, is that he just wants it to be a team, uniform team. We wear our socks the same way. We eat the same meal. So Ellers didn't want steak. He wanted pancakes. And after a little,
I want pancakes.
After some time, he asked the waiter, and the waiter said, oh, the coach let us know that the team will be having steak. And Ellers It's funny. He orders pancakes like a little kid, and then he sort of acted like a little kid. He threw like a platter of steaks everywhere.
Oh, boy.
But Bud never looked up, right? He just kept eating.
Yeah.
Next pregame meal, everybody, two silver dollar pancakes.
Two. That's it.
The size, like the little ones, silver dollar ones.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny. I thought it reminded me of the quote, speak softly and carry a big stick, which I like because talk. I don't like, you know, I like actions.
Absolutely.
I'm about action.
Yep.
And then I had a secondary reaction, which was, how very Minnesota of you, right?
To
little passive aggressive.
Well,
not to say anything, just to serve.
No, and I don't think Carl was from here, but he became acclimated with the Minnesota nice crap.
Oh, I'm talking about Bud. That was his move to not address
it,
into conflict, but just, okay, well, pancakes then. Here's
pancakes.
Two
and two silver dollar pancakes. I used to run International Market Square. We did a wedding for a Viking, and we had 8-ounce petite filet along with some other accompaniments. I saw a couple linemen pick up the filet with a fork and stick the whole thing in their mouth. So, point being, two silver dollar pancakes would not even, you know.
Yeah, that's the part of the story I found a little weird because Bud's so about the team. Like, he doesn't want them. They need their, you know, they need their calories and stuff.
Absolutely.
I don't think, it must not have been a pregame meal. It must have been like whatever.
Yeah, some team building or whatever. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, so why are we here today? We're here to talk about January 13th, 1974, Super Bowl VIII, Minnesota.
Son of a.
Yep.
Anyway. I'm over it.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
To hear you react.
Let's do it.
Some of us might even enjoy it.
Let's do it. Can I say one thing?
I'm sure of it. I hate him.
That went out to the, the Dolphins.
Oh,
you know who that was?
I do. That is Val Kilmer, RIP Val, and he was Doc Holliday, right?
Yes, you knew.
Talking about Johnny Ringo. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Geez, you do know that movie.
Yeah.
That's what my dog's named after. Huckleberry, you know, I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry. Yeah, I did not know that. Okay.
All right. So we're here to talk about that day, but let's set the scene like we did last week. What's going on in 1973 in the States? How old are you, Mike?
73? I'm 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you should remember some of this stuff.
Okay.
End of Vietnam?
Yes. I remember the commercials and their peacetime and doves, and I remember that.
World Trade Center opened.
Do not remember that.
Okay. First mobile call made in the world.
Wow. 73?
Yes.
Did not know that. Okay.
And then, of course, we had a little incident, Tricky Dick.
Yeah. Yep.
Called Watergate.
Watergate.
I think there's enough podcasts on that to really get into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Top records of 1973. Number one, With a Bullet, Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, Pink Floyd.
Yep. One of the greatest.
Yes.
Greatest selling albums of all time.
Especially if you enjoyed any substances, mood altering substances. Not that I did.
What do you mean?
At the age of 10.
All right.
My sister did.
Yeah.
Rose, if you're listening.
Yeah. You just dimed her. You just doxed her, as the kids say. All right. Number two, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Elton John. Number three, you probably won't recognize, but when I tell you why, you will. Tubular Bells. Do you remember a track called Tubular? It's the Exorcist soundtrack.
Oh,
Yeah.
I never watched that movie. It was too freaky for me, but anyway.
Yeah, I watched it once not long ago. It was good.
Stuff freaks me out, so I don't watch scary
movies.
I'm
not a horror movie guy myself.
No.
All right. Four and five are both Beatles records or cash grabs, you know, like greatest hits, 67 to 70 and then 62 to 66.
Okay.
House is the Holy by your guys.
Oh, yes.
Jonathan Livingston Siegel soundtrack. That would be by Neil Diamond.
Of course it would.
Yeah. John Denver's greatest hits, Janis Joplin's greatest hits, and then big year for greatest hits, The Carpenters. Did you know, Mike?
No.
And he's listening. No. My dad was on the news. He found Karen Carpenter dead in a closet.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah.
What did your dad do?
He was a firefighter.
Oh, my gosh.
A paramedic at the time, I believe.
Was it like a wellness check?
Yeah, it was. We hadn't heard from her in a while, and it was actually at her parents' house. He worked for a city called Santa Fe Springs, and they got the call. They went in there, and there she was in the closet.
Wow.
He got interviewed on the news. And Yeah, it was a big deal.
Sorry to hear that, Mr. Gillis.
Yeah.
I always liked Karen Carpenter. I kind of had a little mini crush on her, but that's another podcast.
Yeah, she suffered.
Yeah, a lot of them do. You know, you're a musician. You get it.
That's a strong word for what I am. All right. Top movies. Aforementioned Accessorist. No, that's a movie about about
is that a porno?
About a handbags.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Exorcist. Number one. Number two. The Sting. Paul Newman.
Oh,
last week we had
great
Paul
movie.
Newman. Yeah, it's good. Oh, the Redford Newman combination back again.
Mm-hmm.
American Graffiti. Francis Ford Coppola's first movie. Papillon. The Way We Were. Magnum Force. Is that Bronson? Who is
no,
that?
No, that is Clint Eastwood. Okay. With his he was Dirty Harry.
Oh yeah, right. That's yeah. that. Okay. Do you feel lunky? Lunky. Do you feel lucky?
Yeah. Or lunky.
Yeah, lunky. Mm. Live and Let Die. Robin Hood. Paper Moon. You see Paper Moon?
I have not. Is that with O'Neill?
Yeah. Tatum O'Neill.
Yep. Tatum.
It's a good movie. Serpico. Al Pacino.
I've seen Serpico. Fabulous movie.
All right. I think there's only one road to Super Bowl VIII. And before we go to get there, we have to go way back to February the 3rd, 1940. Richmond, Virginia, where Francis Asbury Tarkenton.
Mm-hmm.
Initial spell fat. I'm not sure if the parents thought that through.
Yeah.
son of a preacher man. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Okay. I just wrote down a little overview to introduce the audience to who Fran was as a football player.
Perfect.
Okay. He's widely regarded as the first dual threat quarterback. He played for the Bulldogs in Georgia.
Knew that.
He was an all SEC guy. And then he was selected by the Vikes. Third round.
I was going to say, I knew he wasn't a first rounder. But yeah.
Probably a little undersized.
Yep. Yep.
And running wasn't a thing. If he's the first dual threat, you know.
Yes.
At the time of his retirement, Tarkenton was the all-time NFL career leader in numerous records, including passing touchdowns, yards, and completions.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the triple crown there. He made it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 86.
First ballot, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had to have been. He was ahead of his time.
He went into the College Football Hall of Fame as well. Yep. I have a little... He did something after football. I'm not sure if you're aware. Oh, wrong button.
I love that. The skull chant always gives me chills.
Do you want to hear what it would sound like if Pink Floyd? What do they play? The Lion? What Allegiance? What is the venue called now?
U.S. Bank Stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Pink Floyd played at U.S. Bank Stadium, okay. Do you want to hear what it would sound
sure.
like?
Sure, let's hear it.
We have to listen to Pink Floyd now for a minute.
Here, pass that over here, will you? Reminds me of my youth.
Tell me a story.
Tell you a story. I saw one of the first concerts at U.S. Bank Stadium. It was Guns N' Roses. And the acoustics sucked. I don't know if they've corrected them since, but... Yeah. That was 2016-ish? Anyway.
Good story.
Yeah.
Compelling
and rich.
I put you on the spot
because
I had to get my joke out. I'm sorry. We'll edit it out in post. I got to find the right button. The one thing I didn't do, I prepared like a madman.
I can tell. Shots fired.
Payback's a bitch.
I shouldn't say that. I just show up and talk. Jason does JP
research.
Does all the
work.
Oh,
you just doxed me. We'll get that in post.
Please do.
Just Cuddy, please. McGillicuddy, just Cuddy.
Cuddy.
I messed up. I messed up the whole pod, really. I forgot to write down which buttons were which, so we're just going to try another one.
I'm Fran Tarkenton.
This is Eldrick Tiger Woods, and Eldrick is an accomplished golfer. He wins tournaments on a regular basis and has shot close to par on 18-hole courses. Incredibly, Tiger here is only 5 years old.
I remember that.
Do you?
Yes.
You remember vividly. Watching it like...
I do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was a huge, as
you're
you
like,
know.
This guy probably won't be anything.
No, I just... anything Fran did, I would... pay attention.
Yeah, let's get into it. You were 10 your whole life. Fran was your guy.
Yeah.
That's why I'm paying special attention to Fran, because I figured you would like to learn something and probably have something to add
to
the conversation.
Absolutely. He was my idol. Everything he did, when he was on Monday Night Football, I tuned in. I mean, I would anyway, but Rip, was that Believe It or Not?
No, it's That's Incredible.
That's Incredible. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had the pleasure of meeting him one time briefly. I touched the garment.
Yeah.
And just Fran, you know, like I said, I played hockey and baseball, and every team I played on, and number 10 is a heavily sought after number.
Sure.
So I was kind of a good athlete. Just kidding. No, but I wore number 10 my entire life because of Fran. And even though...
My bad.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's and
my cell phone. Bad.
I don't
bad,
know. If,
that's bad pod etiquette.
And it's the Godfather theme song as I'm speaking. So, you want to talk about vengeance?
We'll get into Big Jim Colosimo one of these episodes.
Oh my goodness, that's a whole.
That's a probably a different pod.
Different podcast. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Fran, he could do no wrong in my eyes. Even though we lost 3 Super Bowls with him at the helm, I don't think I blamed any of those on him, but maybe the last one against the Raiders. But anyway, so love Fran. Still do.
Yeah. Seems like a smart guy, too. He did, and a good guy as well, he did a software company afterwards. The aforementioned Monday Night Football. He was on That's Incredible. He wrote a book rather recently about senior financial abuse, you know, basically like talking to seniors about not getting scammed, you know, your energy bill's due, we're going to turn off your energy if you don't pay it right away, kind of thing.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
And I could see
he
that.
Could write a second book about the AI that's coming. Watch out.
Is he part of some software company too?
Yeah,
based in Atlanta?
I didn't go that deep.
I think it is, but yeah.
So he's a great player. He finished with all these accolades. He was traded. That I did not know. He was traded. He was drafted by the Vikes.
Yep.
Trade in 61, and I think I know why. We were talking a little bit before the pod started up, and it was Norm Van Brocklin. He was the coach at the time. He's a quarterback himself. He threw for 500 yards in a game against the Rams one time, or maybe he was on the Rams. Either way, he's a prolific, I think, Hall of Fame quarterback himself, and he didn't like scrambling. He wanted you to stay in there like a statue.
Yeah.
And, of course, Tarkenton's nickname was?
The Scrambler.
I was trying to think of other nicknames that would make you hungry. Scrambler. It's about breakfast time.
Well,
Rustin,
you know.
I got a deep cut.
Go ahead.
What do you got?
Well, what I was going to say is... not that anybody that's listening cares, but I am prepping for a procedure tomorrow, so I can't eat today.
So let's talk about food.
Yeah, so thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
The other nickname is just off the top of my head. I didn't try too hard, but I came up with a funny one, I think. Do you remember Rusty Staub?
Yeah, the baseball player.
Le Grand Orange.
Because he had red hair.
Yeah.
Because
he played in Montreal, and they started calling him Le Grand Orange.
The Big Red or Big Orange?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a random fact out of nowhere, out of left field.
And then, of course, we have our Sugar Rays. I met Sugar Ray Leonard one time. Anyway, so they got rid of him. They sent him to New York, and... He kind of did he was so.
Can I jump in real quick?
Sure.
Do you know that Van Brocklin was so pissed at him in one game, he pulled him out and put Bob Berry in?
Yeah, I think that's what it says.
And we lost to Atlanta, which was an expansion team that was 1-10 at the time. So Norm Van Brocklin bit his nose to spite his face, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, again, that stuff wouldn't fly in today's NFL. He would have been fired immediately. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Different football world. Well, you know, Fran's not a miracle worker, but he did improve the 1-12 and one Giants too. I think they got to 500.
Yeah.
And what I like about him, what I like about Fran is he's got a little fuck you to him.
Yeah.
He's got a little AFI.
Yeah.
A fire inside. In his first revenge game narrative, right? We use that in fantasy sometimes.
Okay.
The revenge game narrative.
Yes.
First game against the Vikes, he threw two touchdown passes after trailing 23-10, led him in a fourth quarter comeback. And that was the season that they went 12-2. So he handed them one of their losses in that last Super Bowl four season.
Yeah.
What was it again? 69?
69-70. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got a little F you to him, and I have more F and evidence here. On October 27th, 1974, at home versus the Pats.
Oh, I remember this game.
Do you? Yeah. Do you? Yeah. Well, then what happened?
I think he mistook one of the D-backs for the Patriots to, I can't remember what he did, but Fran just went ballistic, took the football, threw it at him. They got into a brawl. He was ejected.
Ron Bolton, ring the bell?
Yeah.
That's the corner. You're on it so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was watching I watched them all back then, and I was bummed. It was kind of bittersweet because I love a good fight. And so Fran was, you know, not a big guy like me. I'm not a big guy, but he wasn't afraid to get into the scrape. But then he got ejected.
Yeah.
I don't remember if we won that game or not.
According to my research, there's only been one other QB ejected. I believe I told you on the phone, so I'm not going to ask you.
Yeah, you did, which shocks me. And it was against the Vikings. I remember that game.
What, Trent Dilfer?
Yeah.
What'd he do?
I don't remember why.
I didn't bother to look up why.
Yeah.
But he did get kicked out. And he was friendly with St. Clemente High's football coach. Shout out Coach Mac. And he had him come by and throw some passes. And it was all around school the next day that this kid, Trevor Inslee, picked him off.
Okay.
But that Trevor, it's Sam Darnold and Trevor Inslee are the two football players that went to St. Clemente High. Trevor.
Did he make it to the NFL?
No, he had a cup of coffee with the Colts during the Peyton Manning years.
Yeah.
Phone going off.
Welcome to St. Clemente High podcast.
Yes. Triton Pride.
Triton Pride.
Yeah. That kid went on to set several NC2A records at Nevada. They had like a run and shoot. They threw it like 60 times a game or whatever, and he did fairly well.
Run and shoot. There's the old term from the old days. Before I forget, I was just thinking about San Clemente, California, UCLA Bruin, which you are an alumnus, right?
I technically owe them money.
I was having a cigar at Tobacco Grove the other night watching LSU UCLA. In the Baseball World Series. Did you watch that game?
No.
Yeah. Well, UCLA goes up 3-0 in the first inning, only to give up 4 in the bottom of the first inning. So I
was the number one star in the world. You hear me? Bang. The world.
You know who that is?
No.
That's Dana Carvey. imitating Mickey Rooney. There's a name everybody's familiar with in the year 2025 of our Lord.
My
but
goodness.
That makes me smile. I don't know. It's probably not relevant. Are you about to say how UCLA gave up a lead?
They did, and I left after the fourth inning. Again, shout out to Tobacco Grove. They were down when I left. But, you know, anyway, I immediately thought of you. I was going to text you, and I'm like, now why? Why get even and rub in another Bruin loss? We'll just stick to.
This might shock you, but I probably wouldn't have cared.
You would. Fair enough.
I would have been watching right there with you.
Yeah.
Nope. I'll check it out if it gets interesting. Baseball, college baseball, let's face it, nobody.
I do.
Do you?
I'm a huge baseball fanatic of any kind. Played a ball of some kind until I was 42 myself. I played the hot corner. If anybody knows what that is,
that's
third base.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, I did not star in any porn flicks.
I can't pull a single corner here in Maple Grove. I thought that was at the corner of Elm Creek. Anyway, all right, 1973. Let's go to the season. So I guess it would have been, the 73 season for the 74 Super Bowl.
Yes.
Chuck Foreman. Chuck, don't call me George. Foreman, he had a great year. 1,200 all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
He would have been a fantasy option for sure. It seems like he'd catch the ball out of the backfield, and he was a unanimous consensus rookie of the year. What do you remember about
Mr.
Chuck?
Foreman?
Yeah.
Number 44. He had this patented spin move, and that would just juke people out of their cleats. And I don't know how prevalent this was back then, but he was also a catching, receiving running back as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know, again, how prevalent it was back then. But Chuck, and I had the pleasure of meeting him a few times when I was in my youth. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Oh, cool.
And he still lives here.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's my recollection of Chuck, and he's a very knowledgeable guy. He's on one of the local sports radio, well, the local sports radio show channel, KFAN. Mm-hmm. He's on with one of the hosts quite a bit, and he's just a encyclopedia of football.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, good player.
Yes.
Wide receiver for the Vikes. You want to guess who the leader was?
Oh, boy. Was it still Gene Washington?
It was Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
By
the
way,
that he was
by
busy.
By the way, doesn't Fran look a bit like Willy Wonka?
No, take that back. I'm drawing a complete blank.
Oh, it's John Gilliam.
John Gil. Oh my, how could I?
Gilly.
How could I forget John Gilliam? Of course. Yeah.
All right.
He got decapitated in the later Super Bowl. His helmet came off. But yes, John Gilliam.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that misery.
Oh boy. I was going to ask in the lead up, you know, we got at least 20 episodes with all the shit that's happened, to Minnesota
Yay.
Fans.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll ever get through the intro and you won't react at all?
No, I don't, because again, 6 decades on Earth and I still, my eye twitches.
What about if Minnesota wins this year?
Oh gosh.
Would you be able to get through the intro and just be like?
It would cure a lot of my issues.
This podcast is, I thought this podcast was just going to be a laugh for me. Now I'm starting to care. I got sad when Bud lost, you know, that Dallas thing, because it was such a bad beat. You know, it was a penalty and they named the Hail Mary. We'll get into all that.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to get some transference over here. Let's go to the NFL in 73. Passing leader, same as, I think, 69, Roman Gabriel, this time for the Eagles. Good quarterback, apparently.
I forgot that he was traded to the Eagles. Yeah.
And then,
is that when they brought Vince? Now it's too early for Vince Ferragamo. Anyway.
Yeah. I didn't go.
Another Paisan. Another plug for the Dagos.
Receiving leader was Harold Carmichael.
A
little over 1,100 yards. He played for Philly as well, so that
yes.
must have been – I just immediately jumped to
tall, gangly dude.
I just jumped to fantasy stuff because I'm that kind of nerd. Want to stack Roman and Carmichael. That would have been fun.
Yeah. We're up a listener. I'm getting a text as we speak. So now we're up to 29.
20. Where are the sponsors? We got 29 listeners. All right. Rushing leader with 2,000. And three
got to be the juice, right?
Orenthal James Simpson. Not his most famous accomplishment, unfortunately.
No, with or without his butcher knife?
No. I'm sure of it. I hate him.
Good season, though.
That's 14 games.
All-around bad guy. So they go 12-2, regular season. Anything you remember about that particular regular season? You remember a lot, very specific.
Yeah, no, I just remember, again, the Purple People Eaters, say that three times fast, were who they were. I mean, just the dominant defense. We rarely lost at home. We played outside back then. I really wish we still did. And then Fran the man, got this rookie running back that is, a phenom, and it was just a glorious year. Little did I know that I'd be going to bed crying
once again
in the 70s. I have a story about that. When
All right, we're almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was going to take us through the playoff run here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, not being much of a historian, just kind of knowing what is out in the zeitgeist as far as, like, what you were, you know, I did know about the 2,000 yards and things like that. I didn't realize how dominant these guys were. I mean, we're encroaching on, I mean, we're one Hail Mary away from being Buffalo, and who knows, Bud and I are on a first name basis now. Bud seems to think they would have won that Super Bowl, and it sort of broke them with the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
My point is, like, we're encroaching on Buffalo territory.
Right. And
and that is heartbreaking.
It is.
I'm sad for them.
I hate to say this, but I think we would have been 0-4 or 0-5, technically losing to KC. But Pittsburgh ended up beating the eventual NFC champs. I wouldn't say handily, but that was part of that, you know, steel curtain dominance in the 70s. And so, yeah, no, that was a crushing blow. But I know we're not talking about that one yet.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
So the playoff run, seems like they almost lost to Washington. Do you remember that game? Skins, it ended up being 27-20. Oscar Reed had 170 total yards.
Oh my gosh.
And Fran threw two late TDs to Gilly.
Yeah.
And beat the Skins 27-20.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll ask it again. There's no chance you just wanted to lose right then and there so you don't get set up for the fall.
No.
You'd rather go to the Super Bowl. It's better to have loved and lost than never love at all.
It is, or it was, but now, and I guarantee you, folks that are listening, all of you, Minnesota sports fans are like, we're waiting for that other shoe to fall, and we've had so many championship games where we've lost, and it's like, wow, we probably would have lost anyway, and do we want to be the first 0-5 Super Bowl team, losing team? I don't think so, but I don't know. I'm just a mixed bag of emotions from the late Ron Burgundy. Well, he's not dead, but as Ron Burgundy once said, I'm a mixed bag of emotions. So, no, I want to see him go, and I want to see him go all the way. And
I want to hear your Ron Burgundy eulogy.
What's that?
I want to hear the Ron Burgundy eulogy.
Give me a week to prep.
All right. I
actually prep.
Yeah, that's all you have to do is react. It's a good gig for you, Mike. Oscar Reed, blah, blah, blah. Gilly, we won. We, holy shit.
Oh, you're one of us now.
Yeah. Let's see. On to Dallas. Now, on to Dallas. Why does that not make sense? Didn't make sense to me. On to Dallas, Fort Worth, or wherever they played back then?
Yeah.
Why would that be?
Arlington, they were 12-2. Stadium.
The book said they hadn't played an important game for 6 weeks. I did some research.
Okay.
No home field advantage.
It wasn't about records.
I looked it up. They rotated division winners.
Oh my gosh, that makes about as much sense as
it makes me feel better about the mistakes I made running my company. That's a pretty big fuck up. Like, because like it the product gets less entertaining. Like, it sounds like Minnesota had their division wrapped up with, you know, a bunch of weeks to go.
Yeah.
Just goes to show you, like, Rome wasn't built in a day, and they had to figure it out. So.
Right.
Yeah, I have it written down here. Here's what it says. Side note. Let's see. Home teams in the first two rounds of the playoffs were determined by a yearly divisional rotation. Yeah.
Wow.
You got to host a home game even if you had a worse
record.
Even
if you were you backed your way into the playoffs and you were 9-7, you know, whatever it was back then. But no, that makes no sense. I'd rather see a screen door on a submarine. Just came up with that.
Hmm.
Anyway. That would make more sense.
Okay.
All right, I'm done.
All right.
I was the number one star in the world. You hear me? Bang. The world.
Wow. Another Mickey Rooney-ism.
Yeah.
All right. Shout out to Mickey.
I guess Mickey Rooney thought Dana Carvey was gay, and he used to go to the other co-stars and say very loudly in front of them, "I'm just glad I like girls."
Oh,
and I guess he carried a .38. Mickey Rooney's a
He's like 5'2".
Yeah.
You know, with the afro.
He dated quite a few actresses, as I understand it.
Well, he's no Milton Berle. You know Milton Berle's claim to fame. Yeah.
Just Enough.
Yeah.
You guys can look that up at home if you're
curious. Yeah.
He had one part of his anatomy that was abnormally large.
There, we're getting way off topic, but there's a Netflix movie about Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I did not know Milton Berle was part of that very first telecast.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if you watch that, and of course he whips that out in pre-production.
Yeah, to show everybody. Our mutual friend Carla Ford has a Milton Berle quote on her door in vinyl, and I had to let her know
about his appendage. Okay.
Yeah. Milton Berle, one of the greats. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of old Hollywood talk on here because I don't know. It'll just seep in. I really like old Hollywood.
So
I think
old
it's
people chime in.
It's fascinating because, you know, wasn't Mickey Rooney, especially earlier on, just like the kind of the picture of wholesome?
Yes.
And he was just a deviant behind the scenes.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, we go to the Super Bowl. What do you remember? I didn't even take any notes because as far as I can tell, Zonka just, I mean, Brian Greasy was the QB for the Dolphins. We should set that up.
Yeah.
He threw 7 passes.
Yep.
Six and completed 5 or 7 and completed 6.
I couldn't tell you the score, but I know we got our rear ends whipped. And they just kept running. It was Mercury Morris and Larry Zonka.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. And it wasn't even close. And our once again, in the big game, our vaunted defense folded like a cheap card table. I'm sorry if anyone is still alive.
You're allowed to say that because you're a Vikings fan.
Yeah. And again, another night where I went to bed crying. My dad would curse in Italian. We had a ritual.
Do you remember what he tossed, what he threw that night?
He wasn't using a cane at that point, but I think he had this coffee table right in front of him. So I think he just picked up whatever was in front of him and threw it at the TV. And I started crying and went to bed. So can I share a story with you?
I'd love that.
It's not in relation to that year. It's just in relation to being a Vikings fan in the 70s and just being a Vikings fan in general. I was running a hotel in downtown Minneapolis in the 90s called the Luxford Hotel. I was the food and beverage director, AGM. And this giant black guy came into the restaurant to get a cup of coffee, and I happened to be walking through, and I just like, this dude looks familiar. So I walk up and I said, how are you doing, sir? What can I help you with something? He's like, yeah, I need a cup of coffee. So I go over and grab him a cup of coffee to go, and I said, do you mind if I ask, you look familiar? And he goes, yeah. And he was really sheepish about it. He goes, yeah, I used to play football. I said, professionally, right? And then I looked down and I saw it would look like a Super Bowl ring. And he goes,
well, you know, you didn't get that here.
No, no. And anyway, and I said, do you mind if I ask who you are? And he's like, yeah, I'm John Stallworth. And I go, oh.
The enemy.
For the Steelers. And he goes, Vikes fan, right? I go, yep.
No wonder he was underselling it.
I said, you sent me to bed crying once in the 70s. He goes, if you're a Vikes fan, I'm guessing you went to bed crying a lot. And walked away. And I'm like, give me that coffee back. No, I didn't say that, but I'm like, ouch. That, you know, it's tough to respond to that because it was true.
Truth hurts.
But yeah.
Truth hurts.
Anyway, thank you, John Stallworth.
Yeah. So, yeah, it sounds like they just gouged him on the ground.
Yeah.
Zonka, they could only put up 7 points. Miami was a good team. Minnesota was the favorites. And we forgot to mention last week that the 69-70 Super Bowl, 13.5-point favorites. That's like Patriots when they were undefeated were in that range.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not alone, at least.
No, but that's classic Minnesota sports teams. You remember the rookie year for Josh Allen?
Yes.
We were favored by 16 at home against Josh Allen and the Bills, and you probably saw this clip on SportsCenter where he leaped over a would-be tackler. They ended up beating us by, I can't remember, but we are 16-point favorites. I'm over that one too, but it just speaks to the theme of being a Minnesota sports fan.
Lucy set that ball up, and you went to kick it again, and she pulled it away.
That bitch.
Good grief.
Sorry. Sorry, Lucy.
All right. Well, anything else to add? I mean, what's going on?
No.
I mean, we're at 40 minutes. We're trying to make these about an hour. We don't have to extend them just to talk.
No.
I do have a little something about the music.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Not much to say. I don't remember the final score. I watched the entire game, and I still do to this day. We could be down by 38, and I'm going to watch the entire game. I will say this, 3 or 4 years ago, when we were down 33-0 to the Indianapolis Colts, I don't know if you remember this game, we're down 33-rip or 31-rip.
What year
is this? It was 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins is our QB.
Yep.
They went at halftime, and I think they were down by 30 or 31 points. Here at home, and Patrick Peterson said, "We only need a touchdown." I'm probably butchering how he said it.
I get the point.
We came back and won, and that ended up being the biggest comeback in the history of the NFL. So, I do watch the games to the very end. I don't know why. I do know why, but because I'm a glutton for punishment. Anyway, so we're getting our rear ends kicked by the Dolphins, and it was one of those grind them out games. Zonka was the power back, and then
Mercury
Morris was the speedy, you know, scat back or whatever you want to call him. And it just made us look like boys playing a man's game. And this is one of the greatest defenses of all time.
Sure is.
And they kick, what's the old saying? They kick 7 types of dog crap out of us. Anyway, they
I've
did.
Never heard that one
yeah.
before.
I'm cleaning it up. It's usually 7 types of dog shit out of us. But
we're allowed to cuss on you.
Yeah.
So, well, there's always next year, isn't there?
That is the battle cry of a Minnesota sports fan, especially a Viking sports fan.
There's always next year. Yeah. I was listening to a fantasy podcast in, what is it? It's in June. So, yeah, I have a problem. So I was listening to a fantasy, and they were talking about JJ a lot. Sub 4.5, 40. Good shuffle. He's very athletic. Good shuffle runner, whatever the, I forget what the test is.
Which JJ are you referring to?
Your new quarterback.
Oh, okay, because that's JJ.
Spawn?
No, the receiver. Justin Jefferson. They used to call him JJ.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, that's fair enough.
Now they call him Jets because of JJ.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just. You got the right coach.
He says all the right things. He's a kid, right? You know, he's 22, 23.
Coming off a knee.
But he's, you know, they always say that these athletes, he's accustomed to winning. I had heard a story about one of the years at Michigan when there's some players on the team that were thinking about leaving because of
NIL.
Yeah, and the issues that Harbaugh was.
Oh, right, the video.
Yeah, and he would talk to them about, why don't you stay, man? We've got something special here. So he seems like a natural-born leader. And I do love KOC. We do have, I think, a great coach. So we'll see.
I hope the ownership doesn't get, they got to stick with KOC as long as he wants to stay, in my opinion.
Yeah, they just re-upped him. So, I think so.
Yeah, you know, I got to watch J.J. McCarthy in college, just because if you want a Michigan game, they're not hard to find. They're always televised.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought he was, I think he looks good, but you know, you're not supposed to, you know, the eye can deceive you.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they know a lot about sports.
Right.
I mean, they get quarterback wrong so often. It's basically like the first 10 picks, it's even that high in the draft.
Yeah.
It's still kind of a coin flip.
Yep.
I would bet on JJ though.
Well,
that's I'm putting my money, you know, where my mouth is.
I think that's a great bet. I think prior to that,
him and KOC together, that's the
yeah.
formula.
And you know, 10 or 12 years ago, we picked a QB at number 11. Do you know who that is? Who was?
Wait,
number 11. I'm going to say 2012-ish. I don't remember the exact year. I think we had the 11th overall pick, and that was the highest we had ever picked a
that
QB.
Was it? I'm just going to throw a name out. Christian Ponder.
Yep. And how'd that work out? He has a smoking hot wife. I will give him that much. So I'm sure he's not crying. But
I've heard that before from a Minnesotan about his wife.
Yeah, Sam Ponder. She used to host NFL.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, super intelligent guy, 2 degrees in 3 years at Florida State or whatever. And, you know, it just didn't work out.
We have to do something if they do win. Like, we have to put it on the air, on tape, something that you and I will do if they win the Super Bowl. Like, you know, climb Mount Everest or something.
Yeah, hopefully I won't have early onset Alzheimer's by then. But, yeah. Oh, can you tell how scarred I am?
Yeah, every time I play the intro and I watch you squirm. All right.
Brutal, brutal man. But all still right. Frequent his business.
Well, that's Super Bowl VIII.
Super Bowl VIII.
In the books. Yeah. Close but no cigar.
Two down, two to go.
Always next year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time for my segment where I pick a song, band, whatever, something music related from that year. And it's really hard to ignore Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. 45 million copies to date. The fifth best-selling record of all time. Why do you think it resonated with so many people aside from hallucinogens and or pot?
Well, I'm not a huge Pink Floyd. I do like them. The Wall. I was a junior in high school when The Wall came out. So I don't know every song, but obviously they've got some pretty well-known songs. I think the diversity of their, you know, they're not just that cookie-cutter band that every song sounds the same. Kind of like Queen, right? So I think they're maybe kind of pioneers from that type of rock.
I listened to the record.
The whole thing?
Yeah, for the most part. Sort of getting ready.
Did you drop LSD?
No.
It's a podcast. You can admit it.
Yeah.
You're from California. You had to do some mushrooms or something.
Yeah. I happen to be sober.
Microdose.
I just
learned that term, by the way.
Microdosing?
Yeah. I didn't know what that was.
I'd like to try that.
One of the youngsters had to tell me what that was.
No, they say it's good, mushrooms and stuff.
Okay.
These experimental medicines.
I'm too old. I'd have a heart attack.
I prescribe you shrooms and side B of Dark Side of the Moon. That's what my doctor.
Okay.
Did. Yeah.
Your doctor.
So let's have a little sample. So this record, Mike, it sold... Oh, I already said 45 million copies. It was on the charts for 736 non-consecutive weeks, the top 200. And what's really interesting about it is that you can sync it up with The Wizard of Oz. Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, you've never heard of this?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you can sync it up. It's called Dark Side of the Rainbow, and it's supposed to fit. Like, there are some theories that they wrote this record to match that movie.
Okay. Well, there.
Now you have your homework, Mike. Yeah, you can go sync it up. I think you can just go on YouTube and it's all synced up for you.
Oh, I was gonna bust out my 8-track and find the Dark Side of the Moon. And wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's all we got for this week. Thank you for checking in. We'll be back next week with some more heartbreak, some more misery. He's the misery. I'm the company.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Misery Loves Company.
Thank you.
Be good, Minnesota.
Skol!